Good morning. Welcome to worship. Friends, we read in the Psalms that we're to magnify the Lord and to exalt His name together. And for a long time, I struggled with that because how do you magnify someone who's already bigger than anything I could possibly imagine? So here's where I landed. I can't make God any bigger, but I can give God a bigger place in my life. Father, we praise you because you are beyond compare. You reign with power and purity over all your creation. All that you do flows out of your righteousness, your justice, faithfulness, and love. Lord, help us to be more like you. Forgive us when we forget that without your help we are weak and powerless. Father, we so thank you for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to embrace his love and mercy, his grace and forgiveness, his call to follow him. Draw near to us, we pray, as we draw near to you.
Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for the rain. We need it so much to replenish our dry lands. Thank you that we can gather together on this corner in Cupertino to worship and to praise you. You are an awesome God. And we thank you for all of your creation and for your never-ending love. We are very grateful for everything you provide for us, Lord, for our church, our families and our friends, our jobs and our homes, and for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to us to show us how to live and how to love one another. Thank you for all the blessings in our lives that we take for granted and forget to acknowledge you for. Thank you for Pastor Kim and the staff at this church, and bless them with vision, energy, and passion as they steer us towards knowing and loving you more. And thank you for this awesome new sound system. We realize, Father, that we are not always the best version of ourselves. We sometimes hurt others that we are close to. We don't always appreciate the wonderful world you have made for us. We rush around in our busy lives and we don't stop to smell the roses. We do things that separate us from you, God, and for all these things, we ask for your forgiveness. We have some special needs to bring before you this morning, Lord. We lift up Cheryl Pasquinelli to you, Father, and we ask for your healing powers to flow into her body. Thank you for the positive news that Cheryl received this week. And continue to bless her and her family as she begins her chemo treatments. Bless our beloved Carol McCune and give him peace and comfort and remind him how much we all love him. There are many others in our church family this morning, Father, who are ailing. And at this time, I ask that you hear our silent petitions as we lift these folks up to you. Be with those who are in difficult relationships, hard jobs, and broken families. Bless our servicemen and women, and thank you for protecting them while they protect and defend us. Be with our community and world leaders, Lord, and give them wisdom and discernment in this crazy time that we live in. And now I ask that you please pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My name is Todd Misfelt. I'm intern here, and Pastor Kim is gone today. I am not her. And she's in Michigan to see her son, hopefully playing some baseball. So hopefully it didn't get snowed out. I haven't checked the weather, but we can pray for at least no snow. So today we're continuing our series on the book of Acts. And the book of Acts describes the events in the early church after Jesus' death and resurrection, It described what Jesus' disciples did and how the early church was formed. And this is important for us because it serves as a guide for us, both as Christians and as a church body, what we might be going through. And then we can learn by what the disciples did and the early church did when we maybe face those same situations. So as Kim said when she started the series, that the book of Acts is full of action and surprising events. And so we're going to get to one of those today. And last Sunday in the series, Kim talked about the awe of the early church. You may remember her talking about Acts chapter 2, verse 43, that says, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the early apostles." And the disciples, see, acted in response to their awe to the risen Lord, as we celebrated this last Easter, by going out and proclaiming the gospel. However, their expression of this awe caused issues with some people, caused some challenges. And this week, we're going to learn what the apostles did in response to those challenges. So let me set the stage. Chapter 3, we have Peter and John going to the temple late in the afternoon to worship and to proclaim the gospel. And on their way there, they met a man who was lame. And the man was begging, and he asked them for money. So we have in, Peter says to the man, as related in Acts 3, verses 6 to 8, Peter says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man jumped to his feet and began to walk. And he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. See, the name of Jesus is the power to heal physical ailments. And it's one of the many miracles that occur that is related in Acts. Miracles that still happen today. This healing, plus Peter and John's proclamation in the temple, attracted the attention of the authorities. The priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees. And they were not exactly happy about what they were saying. So it says in Acts 4, verse 3, it says, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, just put them in jail until the next day. So this next day, the authorities gather, the high priest and others, to question Peter and John. And they ask them, "By what power or name did you do this act in, healing this lame man?" And it says that Peter, who was still filled with the Holy Spirit, tells them, he says, "By the name of Jesus." Well, having a crippled man now walking around in the temple courts was kind of hard to ignore. So the officials just tell them in verse 18 to do not speak at all about this name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "You know, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." Okay, that sets the stage now for our verse this morning. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to the disciples and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now, the word translated together here is literally with one mind, one purpose, one impulse. The disciples in the early church were unified. When they heard the testimony of Peter and John, with one mind, they raised their voices in prayer. So this continues in verse 24. They pray, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Notice that they began their prayer by acknowledging who God is. And you find this pattern in their prayer, what we've seen many times before in our prayers. Verse 25, it says, You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. So they acknowledge Scripture as a source of God's word for us, and it's inspired. And they continue to quote the first two verses of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So by quoting Psalm 2, they acknowledge that God has a plan, that Jesus is part of that plan. And just to be sure we get it, Luke, the author of Acts, rephrases Psalm 2 in light of their current situation. He says in verse 27, Indeed, Pilate and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So God is in control here. Not the kings, not the rulers of the earth, rulers of the people, but God. Finally, in verse 29, we get the disciples' request for themselves. They say, Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So the disciples saw the threat not against themselves, but against the gospel of Jesus. You know, and I'm impressed by that, right? Because we would often think that, well, it's against us. We're more important. But no, they saw the threat against the gospel. So what was the result of this? In verse 31, it says, After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The disciples' prayer was answered. Their unity, being of one mind, and their boldness would shake the world, would shake these heavenly bodies. The high priest, the authorities, Jerusalem, the Roman Empire, the world to this very day. It still shakes the world today. As I mentioned, notice they did not pray to be left alone or for God to protect them. They prayed to be able to speak the word with great boldness. This can be unlike our prayers. In the past, I've prayed some for protection, right? Something like, Dear God, protect me from evil and all those bad events out there and all those mean people. You know, it's not what Acts 4 says. If I'm true to Acts 4, my prayer should be something like, Dear God, give me boldness to speak the gospel wherever I am, where in front of friends or adversaries or strangers, bring on anybody who does not know Jesus. That'd be a good prayer. And there's another difference. They don't pray for the professionals to do it. You know, I might have prayed, you know, Pastor Kim, please, or Dear God, please help Pastor Kim and the staff to talk to this new person who I don't know. Help them to lead that person to Jesus. You know, if God brings a person to you, it may be his gift for you, for us. The Holy Spirit could have led that person right to you. You may be exactly who that person needs to speak with. we may be the person that needs to get to know that stranger a little bit. Ask them out to lunch. Get to know them better. We don't have to be perfect to do this. We just have to be willing to share our faith and be genuine with them. That's all we need. Because as we see, in the eyes of the early church, there were no professionals. The professionals, Peter and John, didn't lead the prayer. Everyone did. And everyone prayed for boldness. Again, verse 24 notes that when they heard this news, they raised their voices together to praise God. So that's Acts' lesson for us. That if we are to be all that God wants us to be, then we need the power to speak together with expectation, because there is power in our unity. So what do we need to speak this way? What do we need to do to act as the apostles did? The first thing we need to do is we need to kind of get beyond this individualistic culture that we live in, right? We are self-sufficient. We want to do everything alone. Well, at least I do. Be guilty to that. However, God does not want us to be alone. We need to give up our pride and join with each other. Secondly, we must be complete in our unity with other Christians as the body of Christ. Soren Kierkegaard describes how Jesus brings us into the church. He says the first thing Jesus does when he sees a crowd is to isolate each individual so it's one-on-one with God. But the second thing Jesus does is he reintroduces all these individuals with one another as brothers and sisters, making a crowd into a community. And a true Christian community is always a community of prayer. So we must not stop at that first step and remain an individual, but we must go completely through the second step to enter a true Christian community. Our unity is with other believers is Acts' lesson for us. And our unity is what changes us from this crowd of individuals to a body of Christ. Well, and Acts 4 shows that being part in unity is praying together, or corporate prayer. Now, corporate prayer is different, though, from other types of prayer. Ben Patterson, Presbyterian pastor and author of the book Deepening Our Conversation with God, expresses it this way. He says, corporate prayer can demand more of us spiritually than individual prayer does. When I'm alone with God, I don't have to deal with other people. Quite frankly, I like God more than I like some people. But the Lord is clear. If we love him, we must love others. Thus, joining my heart with others before the throne of God is a way of loving God. And Patterson observes that when we're in corporate prayer, that the same rules apply as in any conversation, any good conversation. So what are these rules for good corporate prayer or good conversation? Patterson writes, the first method is to listen. Really listen to the other person's prayer. Let it sink in. Let it sink into my heart before I move on to my particular concerns, right? That's the hard part sometimes in conversation, letting the other person speak. For instance, someone may pray for a family member's health. As I mull that over, I add a kind of amen to it. It may be verbal, you know, it may be silent, but it's agreeing with that concern. You enter more deeply into that concern. And sometimes when he writes that he does this, I find myself moved to add my own prayer to it, some nuance to the prayer that I heard or the Spirit led me to. And others may do the same way. In some way, you know, he says vectoring, but kind of subtly shifting the direction of the prayer. It's building on that original prayer. It's no longer one person's prayer, it becomes the community's prayer. And that's true because, like a conversation, corporate prayer evolves, it builds, and it changes course, just like a river flowing down. You know, we do not know where our corporate prayer will go, where it will lead us, other than we know it will lead to the hand of God. Just as in any good conversation in corporate prayer, one person should not monopolize it. You know, we get some people, they are good prayers. Each person should say short prayers many times during the course of a prayer session, thus leaving a chance for everyone to speak, not just one person. It leaves space for them to agree, to shift the direction and build. And if you think you're not good at prayer, just say a short prayer. Corporate prayer needs your input. It needs your insight that the Holy Spirit is giving you. And corporate prayer, like any gathering, needs at least a minimum amount of planning, right? Agreement that it's corporate prayer, inviting everyone to pray, and who's going to close. Corporate prayer is a three-way conversation. The person who's speaking, the person who's listening, and God. A good example of corporate prayer is a healing service we had for Cheryl Pasquinelli a couple of weeks back. It was after the Monday-Thursday service. We invited people at the service to stay and join together in prayer. So at the end of the service, we arranged some chairs on the chancel here, invited people up. There was a time of singing and a time of prayer. Then we repeated the cycle, singing and prayer again. And there were many prayers. Many people prayed. They built on each other. And there were times of silence. It was corporate prayer. We will be having more healing services like this. Worship's going to launch, has launched a process where on the fourth Sunday of every month, after the regular service, we're going to join in the sanctuary healing prayer. First one will be on April 24th. So look forward to more information on this coming. But it's your chance, if you're unsure how it works, to practice corporate prayer. Another example was the installation of Bob Harrison in this service last week. We gathered together. We had some people come up as representatives of everyone and laid hands on Bob. His commissioning was from all of us in unity together, including the children that were there next to him. We are all the body of Christ, and corporate prayer involves everyone. The disciples, we can see, were unified in Acts 4. And the Apostle John records that this is too what Jesus prayed for. In chapter 17 of John's Gospel, Jesus prays for his glorification, the disciples, but lastly he prays for the unity of the people who follow him. For us, not just at the time, but even the future believers in Jesus. He prayed for our unity, that we might be unified with the Father. With the power of our unity, how can we fail? So in conclusion, we can see from Acts 4 that unity was a key component of the early church, of the spreading of the gospel, and that Jesus wants us to be in unity with each other, just as he is unified with the Father. That's our model. So we must practice corporate unity, to corporate prayer, to achieve the full power of this unity. And corporate prayer is praying with each other, listening to each other, adding to each other's prayers, and being united with each other and with God. We can never practice this too much. Before our church meetings, before our small group meetings, before our family meetings, practice listening, agreeing, and adding. So let me close in prayer. Dear Jesus, we have seen your glory, and we are in awe of it. You are one with the Father. You prayed for us to be one with you, and one with the Father, and one with each other, so that we might be your witness to the world. Dear Jesus, we turn our eyes upon you. May our minds be one, and our souls be joined together in praise of you. And may our unity proclaim your gospel. Amen.
Friends, wasn't that a good word? So in all these things that we do corporately, there's so many opinions in the room. And isn't it nice that we have one Lord and Savior that we can look to for direction?
There will be people up front if you need somebody to pray with, need someone to offer a petition to God, to offer requests for healing, confession. Maybe you want to offer thanks for a prayer that's been offered. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." This is an expression for God's desires for us and his blessings of our unity. So this week, I say, go forth, join with each other in prayer, listen to each other, add with each other. It's not about just about God and me. It's about God and us. So go forth, proclaim the gospel of Jesus with boldness. Amen.